So if you get up and leave, it's not because of something I said.
No.
Okay, all right, just want to make that clear. Well, I hope you do pray for your pastor. I know that you do. It has been taxing on him and his family. Pastor Chuck's illness, you know, they've been friends for 30 years. They've served alongside each other for those years, and so it's hard. And then this week, you know, the family was taking turns staying overnight in the hospital room and so on. So he I know, and his family, he and Bonnie and the family are grateful for your prayers, and please continue to do that for them. I do just want to say one quick thing before I get into the sermon here. There are those of you who did purchase Iowa Cubs tickets, they'll be at the table in the atrium. We do have just a few extra, okay? So if you didn't purchase any but you'd like to get some, we have just a few extra. So yes, and men, if you'd come forward, and if you did not get one of these sheets that has Bible passages on it as you came in, would you just raise your hand, and these men are going to distribute them. As many as would like one, go ahead and just hold your hand up, and they'll be doing that for a few minutes here, and that's perfectly okay. Today, we're starting a new series on spiritual gifts called Enabled. And I do thank the Lord for the privilege of starting it off this morning, and I'm not preaching Pastor Phil's sermon. This is one that I've used before that I modified a little bit. I will say that it's probably not exactly what you would have heard, and there'll be some overlap with what Pastor Phil may be preaching in future weeks. But, you know, that's okay, isn't it? If you hear the same thing more than once, I think we need that sometimes. So my sermon today is called Spiritual Gifts 101. Spiritual Gifts 101. And while the men are distributing those sheets, I thought, you know what, I'm just going to gauge the understanding level of our congregation as it relates to spiritual gifts, and I've asked a few different people here to share their spiritual gift. Let's see here. Jerry, why don't you share your spiritual gift for us?
It's real hard, Greg. It's just real hard. My spiritual gift, it's silence.
Silence, okay.
And actually, it's hard to find anybody with this gift.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd
okay.
I thought I'd start a small group for
well,
those
okay.
that
All right,
would like
Jerry.
To.
We got
know,
it. You know, silence.
I, well,
okay.
I just
thanks,
don't
Jerry.
Understand.
Thank you, Jerry.
You know what I mean? It's just
Thank
real
you,
hard to
okay.
be silent.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Let's try Andy Fitzgerald. What's your spiritual gift, Andy Fitzgerald?
Sarcasm.
Sarcasm.
Hey, that's a really nice shirt.
Oh well, thank you. Thanks. Yeah. Well, thanks. Okay. You know, we're not doing too well on this side of the auditorium, so let's go down here and, you know, maybe someone of the female persuasion. Marcia Dykstra, what's your spiritual gift? Tell us.
Yes, well, I'm not really sure, but I think it might be stalking people on Facebook.
Okay, well, all right. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12... or if you look at your sheet in front of you, the second column, 1 Corinthians 12, look at that first verse. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I think we have some ignorance this morning. So we definitely need to learn from God's word what it has to say about spiritual gifts. Let me just start with a word of prayer. Father, we pray that your spirit would guide us and the word would teach us this morning about spiritual gifts. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't have a passage on the screen for us to read. I probably should have done that, but on your sheet there, that second column, I have these in order of Scripture. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. These are the four passages in the New Testament that really deal with spiritual gifts. So let's read from that second column, 1 Corinthians 12. Stand together with me, if you would, please. And let's read that passage together. And you'll have to look at your sheet. It's not up at the on the screen. Here we go. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Thank you. You can be seated. So there's a scripture sheet in your bulletin, and we'll not be using that. You can use the back of this sheet for notes if you want. I have two main points, so you could put point number one and the subpoints on the left. You could put point number two on the right and the subpoints. The primary passage that we'll be looking at is 1 Corinthians 12. If you want to open your Bibles, you can do that and have that on your lap, 1 Corinthians 12, and then referring to these other passages on the sheet. So you're kind of juggling a few things here. But the first point this morning, point number one, is don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant, specifically about spiritual gifts. You see, some in the Corinthian church were ignorant. They were uninformed about spiritual gifts, which was demonstrated by their misuse of them. And I should be quick to point out that those three individuals that shared, I had asked them to say those things. They're not really that ignorant about their own spiritual gifts, I don't believe. But some people may be, and we may be this morning. What are we not to be ignorant about? Point A, we're not to be ignorant about the diversity of spiritual gifts. Diversity of spiritual gifts. So what are we talking about here when we talk about spiritual gifts? We're talking about, point one under that, different names. Spiritual gifts are referred to by many different names and in a variety of ways. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." That word is actually the word spirituals. The word gifts is not in the word. Spiritual things. Things related to the Holy Spirit. So that's one way that they are referred to. Verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 12 says there are diversities of gifts. That word gifts is the word grace gifts, gifts of grace, gifts given by God's grace, his kindness, his favor. Not because we deserve them or because we've earned them, but because they are given out of his kindness and favor to us. Romans 12, verse 6, and in fact, we'll put that up on the screen. It's also on your sheet on the left-hand side there. Having then gifts. Now, that word gifts is the word, and I have a little diagram there, charismata, all right? According to the grace, and that is the word charis. So you see these words are directly related to each other. Grace gifts that differ according to the grace, favor, kindness of God that is given to us. Here's another example, 1 Peter 4. Verse 10, as each one has received a gift. Well, once again, that word is the singular form, charisma. And it talks about the manifold grace of God. So this idea of spiritual gifts is actually more often referred to by a different name, grace gifts, in the New Testament. It's also called, back to your main passage here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5, it's called ministries. That is the word where we get the word deacon, deaconing. In the original language, and serving, ministering, helping. Mark 10:45, the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be deaconed, but to deacon. He did not come to be served, but to serve. And so when we talk about spiritual gifts, we're talking about ministries or service, serving. Verse 6 of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, uses the word activities. This is a word where we get the English word energy. Okay, energy, it's the ability to do something, potential energy, and to make something happen, so they accomplish things. And then in Ephesians 4, verse 8, it just uses the word gifts, the plain old word that we would use if we were giving somebody a gift. Gifts, they're called measures of faith. So the point is they're referred to by a variety of terms, a variety of names. Second sub-point is that there are different kinds of gifts. So we're talking about the diversity of spiritual gifts. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts. Notice the words that are used in our passage here, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 4. There are diversities of gifts. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries. Verse 6, there are diversities of activities. Do you get the point? Varieties, diversities, differences, different kinds, depending on your translation. Romans 12, verse 6, the first column on the left. Look at verse 6 of Romans 12. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 on the far right-hand side. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. That word manifold means many-colored, like Joseph's coat of many colors, like a diamond with many facets that sparkle. There's great variety, is the point, in the gifts that are given. There's an emphasis in the passages in the New Testament on the vast diversity and the great variety of spiritual gifts. Here's something interesting. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but four times in the New Testament, spiritual gifts are listed. They're ticked off, like in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. It lists gifts, but none of the four lists are exactly the same. Wouldn't you think if there were only 10 spiritual gifts and only 10, that Paul would list those 10 every single time in the same way? When he's writing to different churches, he lists slightly different lists. Okay, some of the terms are common to the list, some of them are different. And even in the same book, 1 Corinthians, in the same chapter, chapter 12, he has one list in 8 through 10, and then it's not on your sheet, but in your Bible. If you look at verses 28 to 30 of that chapter, it's another list. It's slightly different. Again, some similarities, but slightly different. So what are we to make of that? I think that what Paul does when he starts talking about spiritual gifts is he just starts listing some that come into his mind, okay? And he gives examples. I don't think he's intending to give an exhaustive list in any one particular case. Here's another way that we can know that this is true. Paul's favorite analogy for the church is that of a body, okay? So in our main passage of 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one and has many members, that word members means parts, body parts. The body, there's one body. You have one body, has lots of different parts. But all the parts of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So let me ask you this, how many body parts do you have? Well, yeah, I mean, it kind of depends on what you mean by a body part, right? If you're talking systems of the body, respiratory system, digestive system, whatever, you could maybe have a list. If you're talking major parts or organs of the body, but what about all the millions of cells that make up your body? It just depends on how detailed you want to be. So it depends on how you categorize spiritual gifts. In 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, verse 11 specifically, Peter lists two spiritual gifts, speaking and serving or ministering. Two. So if you just looked at that passage, you say there's only two spiritual gifts. You either serve or you speak. But obviously those are categories, broad categories, and they're broken down in other passages. So just like your body has many, many, many different parts, and it really depends on how you want to group them or categorize them, and the body parts have different functions, not everybody in the church has the same gift. Aren't you thankful for that? Gifts will manifest themselves as well in various ways. Two people who might have the same gift might exercise that gift in different ways, and it might manifest itself differently. I do want to say and caution that we must be careful not to start just adding to Scripture and coming up with lists of gifts, you know, like the ones that were shared earlier this morning that, you know, aren't in Scripture. So we're safe if we stick with the ones that are mentioned. I'm simply saying that it might not be so simple as to say these are the one and only gifts and there's no other way to do it than just what is the form of the word that we see in our Bible. So don't confuse manifestations of gifts with the gifts themselves. For example, the folks who were up here earlier leading us in worship, you say, well, where's the gift of music in the Bible? Well, I would argue there actually is. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 talks about the gift of bringing a hymn to church. All right? So, and in the Old Testament, we certainly see people who were gifted in music. So I would actually argue that is a spiritual gift. But even if you wanted to quibble on that point, you could at the very least say that they are serving us as they manifest a spiritual ability or an ability spiritually to lead and to serve us in worship and music. So if we're going to just use broad categories, and I'm not going to take much time here and not going to go into great detail because Pastor Phil is going to do this in future weeks, but there are sign gifts, okay? Sign gifts were foundational to the church. They confirmed the apostles' message. They were necessary until the church was established and the Bible was completed. We do not believe here at Grace Church that these sign gifts are still in effect because they were part of the foundation of the church. Ephesians 2:20, that's very clear. And so once the foundation is laid, you don't need to lay the foundation again. And so the gifts that were necessary for the foundation of the church are no longer necessary. We have the completed Word of God. We don't need revelation from God anymore through the apostles and through some of the sign and miraculous gifts. So be very careful. Be very careful about some of these and how they are talked about and how they are used in certain churches and certain settings. Unfortunately, much of that is completely against what Scripture even teaches about how to use them properly. Even if they were still in existence, they were to be used properly, and that's not the case in many respects. This can cause confusion to people. I was just talking to someone this last week who said that they have a relative who was very sad up until the end of their life because they didn't feel like they were a true Christian because they'd never spoken in tongues. And because they were taught that that's the necessary sign of being baptized by the Holy Spirit and being a true Christian. Well, that's just completely contrary to Scripture. Paul makes a big point of saying not everybody has the same gift, and he specifically mentions that one in particular. So we just need to be guided by Scripture. There are sign gifts, there are speaking gifts that are maybe more public, evangelism, pastor, teacher, teaching, administration, leading, speaking, whatever you want to call it, whatever form it might take. There are serving gifts, so sign gifts, speaking gifts, serving gifts, often more private. Showing faith, ministering, serving, helping, encouraging, giving, showing mercy. But again, Pastor Phil will share more about those in coming weeks. So different names, different kinds, and third subpoint, different amounts. Now this may challenge us a little bit. Different amounts, they're given in varying degrees. If you look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, one and the same Spirit works all these things. Look at what it says next. Distributing to each one individually as he wills. That doesn't just mean that he gets to choose which gift you get. It also means that he gets to choose the amount of the gift that you get. All right? And we can look at some of these other passages to see this as well. Romans 12, verse 3, the end of the verse says, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. He's measured out certain amounts to each person. And verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then one more evidence of this, Ephesians 4, verse 7, this is the third column on your sheet. To each one of us, grace, it's talking about spiritual gifts, was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So you know what? The Spirit decides what gift you received and how much of it you got. And it could be true that you might not have as much of it as someone else who has the same gift. All right? Think of the parable that Jesus told about the parable of the talents. You know, the king who was going off on a journey and he gave talents to his servants and he gave five to one and two to the next and one to the third. Well, that's not fair. Why'd he give five to that guy and two to this guy and one to that? Well, that's his decision. That's his right. He can do what he wants. He's the king. And God can give abilities, gifts to us in varying measures. We shouldn't be jealous of somebody else. But we should just use what God has given to us. So we need to think about diversity. We need to think about diversity when we talk about spiritual gifts. But then point B, we need to also not be ignorant about the unity of spiritual gifts. The unity of spiritual gifts. The word same in our English translation is used seven times in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in one chapter. And the word one is used eight times in that chapter. So 15 times in one chapter, he uses either same or one. And if you look back at the verses we've already read, you see it clearly. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And on and on and on it goes. In fact, if you wanted to, you could maybe underline in these passages now or at a later time words that have to do with diversity or differences, and you could circle words that have to do with being the same or unity or one, and it'd be interesting, and not just in this section, but the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians and in these passages. So same, what do we mean by same? Well, first, same source. The same source. All the spiritual gifts are given by the same God. They all come from the same source. But what's interesting is God, three in one, the Trinity, one God and three persons. It's they're each mentioned. Look at verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God, God the Father, who works all in all. So each member of the Trinity, each person of the Trinity is mentioned. I could point out verse 11 mentions the Holy Spirit as the one who gives. Ephesians 4, verse 11, 7 and 11 talks about Jesus giving. 1 Peter 4 talks about the Holy Spirit. God the Father. Romans 12, verse 3, God the Father. So God, one God in three persons, gives these gifts to us. So same source. Secondly, same power. Same power. All of the gifts are empowered by the same God. Verse 6 says, it is the same God who works, that's that word energy again, all in all. Verse 11, one and the same Spirit works all these things. They do something. These gifts accomplish things. Have you ever gotten a gift for Christmas? Young people, kids, maybe you adults remember these days. You know, you get a gift, you open it up, it's really exciting. You're really excited about this gift you wanted, and then you realize there's no batteries. You can't play with your gift. How disappointing. How hard that is. Well, spiritual gifts are not like that. God doesn't just give the ability. He gives the power for these gifts to accomplish things. All right? They're empowered by God. Then they have the same recipients. Same source, same power, same recipients. They are distributed to every believer. And let me just say that every single one of these four passages mentions that every believer gets these gifts, okay? If we're starting with our primary passage, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Verse 11, distributing to each one. Romans 12, 3 on the left-hand side. God has dealt to each one. Ephesians 4, verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given. 1 Peter 4, 10, as each one has received, you get the point? Every single Christian has a spiritual gift. When is this given? It is given at salvation. And so now we look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, and we get a little bit of a clue as to how and when this happens. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, this is a little hard to understand, okay? So we got to think here. At salvation, when a person trusts Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection to save them from their sins, and they are regenerated, they are born again, quite a number of things happen. But one of the things that happen is that person is placed into what is called the body of Christ. Now, this is something that we cannot see with our eyes. It is something that happens spiritually. So they become a part of a larger thing called the body of Christ, which is every Christian around the world. And it's a spiritual entity. It's not physical, it's spiritual. So they are placed into this body. And that body manifests itself physically with a gathered group of Christians like we have this morning, okay? Although among us there may be some who are not true children of God and not truly a part of that body of Christ. But the way that we are placed into that body of Christ, the Bible says we are baptized into it. We are immersed. We're placed into it just like a person being placed into the water in baptism. So again, this doesn't happen visually. It happens spiritually, invisibly. But the Holy Spirit places us into this body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And that is when we have new capabilities to use what it is that God has given us to serve Him. Okay, so these gifts are given at salvation when a person is baptized into the body of Christ. If you're a believer, a true believer in Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift. You do not have to wait for some kind of second helping of the Spirit or some sort of special thing that's going to come over you. And no, if you're a Christian, you have one or more. And then fourth, the same purpose. So same source, same power, same recipient, same purpose. These gifts have a purpose, and that purpose is to edify or build up the church. 1 Corinthians 7, the manifestation, I'm sorry, 12 and verse 7, 12 verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Why? For the profit of all, for the common good. It says in Ephesians 4 that they are given, verse 12, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying means to build up, like an edifice, building up. Verse 16, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So as we use our spiritual gifts, the body grows and functions properly. If every part of your body were working as God designed it, think what your body could do. Now, that may not be the case with you this morning. Is every body part working properly this morning? I won't ask you to give a testimony, but probably not. But if every part of your body was doing what God intended it to do at its full strength, think what your body could do. And it's the same with the body of Christ, locally, in a local church. If we don't use our gifts, the body's growth will be stunted. But as we use our spiritual gifts properly, the body grows. And ultimately the purpose is, and we could say this is the purpose ultimately, 1 Peter 4:11, to glorify God. So as the body grows, God is glorified. That's the ultimate purpose for everything that we do, and certainly for spiritual gifts too. You might ask one question, why did you use the word unity, Pastor Greg? Why not something like similarity, because you're using same, 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 same? Why unity? Well, the proper use of spiritual gifts brings unity in the body, okay? Because we're working together. Your arm is not fighting your leg, or your eye not arguing with your mouth, or whatever. We're working together, and there's unity. Unfortunately, in the Corinthian church, there was disunity because the spiritual gifts were being abused, not used properly. So we need to understand, we need to not be ignorant about diversity and about the unity of spiritual gifts. To summarize this main point, I'm going to have Steve put up on the screen 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6 in a different translation, and this just summarizes what we've understood so far. There are different kinds of gifts, but God's Spirit gives them all. There are different ways that people can serve, but people serve the same Lord. There are different kinds of abilities for service, but the same God gives ability to every person for their particular service. Do you see it right there? That's what it's all about. We don't want to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. We need to understand them. And now, my second main point is, don't be idle. Okay, so don't be ignorant. Don't be idle. Like, still, not I-D-O-L, I-D-L-E. And under this, letter A, use your spiritual gift. Let me point out Romans chapter 12 on the left-hand column, verse 6. Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. 1 Peter 4:10 on the far right-hand side. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Use it. These are commands. Paul told Timothy the same thing in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Don't neglect it. Paul thought that Timothy was showing some timidity in his office as a pastor, and he says, stop neglecting the gift. That's the same word, by the way, charismata, that's used in our other verses. So you have a spiritual gift. That's not the question. The question is, are you using it or are you neglecting it? So now, wait a minute, Pastor Greg. What if I don't know my spiritual gift? How do we discover them? Well, I think there are some helpful ways to do that, and we'll try to help you with that. You can take an assessment. You can take something that will help you kind of figure that out. But I will say this. There is no command in the New Testament to discover your gifts. There's only commands to use your gifts. So part of the answer, I think, is to just start serving. Just start doing something in the church. And I want to qualify that statement because I'm sure Pastor Marty would appreciate this. If he happened to have a need for a bass guitarist, he'd say, well, I'll just start serving. You know, never picked up a guitar before, but how hard can it be? You know, I'll just start serving. Well, okay, maybe it's not that easy, but the point is, ask yourself, well, where is a need? Where can I help? You could also say, what am I passionate about? What are my interests? What are my abilities? And some of these things. But as we serve, we will discover we enjoy serving in certain ways. So I think God not only gives gifts, he gives us desires to use them. And we'll discover that people will respond in some respects and say things like, thanks for that. Thanks for leading our group today. You know, that was just a real blessing. Thank you for the time that you put into that. Thanks for that note that you wrote me. What an encouragement that was. You just found just the right words to say, and thank you so much. And we sense, oh, thank you, God, for using me. And that may give us some clues as to where our gifts lie. We shouldn't go by that exclusively, by the opinions of others, because sometimes people may discourage us in our use of spiritual gifts. And we shouldn't let that get us down, but or they might not say anything at all, and we get discouraged. But we will see fruit. Yes, we will see fruit from our service. And that will help us understand where God is guiding us and where God has gifted us. So if somebody were to say, well, what if I'm serving, and I'm serving in the wrong place because I'm not using my spiritual gifts, because I don't know what they are, and I'm not serving in the right way. Well, you know, I don't think that's as much of a problem, really, as people who are not serving at all. If you're not serving at all, I know for a fact you're not using your spiritual gift. If you're serving and maybe you're not in exactly the right place, you know, the old adage is, it's easier to steer a moving ship than one that's sitting at the dock, okay? And so as you're serving, God can direct you. If you're just sitting there, it's hard to understand what your spiritual gift might be. So use it. Secondly, or letter B, develop your spiritual gift. Develop your spiritual gift. This might seem like a little strange, but I do want to point out 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Paul told Timothy, now this is 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy, he says, don't neglect your gift. 2 Timothy, he says, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. So he's still kind of encouraging Timothy. Okay, Timothy, you can do this. But he says, stir it up. Fan it into flames like a fire that's died down. Okay, stir it up. Get it going. And that takes a little work. Develop it. Improve upon it. Peter says we should be good stewards of our gifts. Remember, again, Jesus' parable of the talents. And so he gave the talents out. What did he expect those servants to do with what he'd given them? Well, not what the one did, buried in the ground. That wasn't what he wanted. He wanted them to invest it. He wanted them to develop and use it to further his kingdom. So how can we do this? Well, maybe we need to read some things about our spiritual gift. Maybe we need to take a class. Maybe we need to ask somebody for help that we can see serving in that way. Can I come alongside you and just kind of help you and assist you, and you can teach me some things about this, and looking for other opportunities to exercise our gifts, stretching ourselves sometimes a little bit. Maybe that's not my comfort zone, but maybe I can step out in faith and stretch myself a little bit and get involved some way. So developing the spiritual gift. Letter C, do your best. So use it, develop it, do your best. Romans 12:8 says, if you're giving, do it liberally. If you're leading, do it with diligence. If you're showing mercy, with cheerfulness. 1 Peter 4:11 says, if you're speaking, man, speak as if God is speaking through you. It's the very word of God. If you're serving, do it with the ability. The point is, don't do it half-heartedly or begrudgingly. Have you ever known people who served that way in the church? Yeah, I guess I'll set up chairs if that's what's needed today. You know, don't be that guy, okay? Don't be begrudging. Don't be half-hearted. Do it. Do your best at it. And that's what we're encouraged to do in these chapters. Well, my fourth point here, letter D, is the most important, and that is rely on the Holy Spirit as you use your gifts, as you serve. Rely on the Holy Spirit. And this is so crucial. Without this one, the rest of it doesn't matter. So let's look back, and I know we're jumping around a lot here, and I appreciate your staying with me as much as you can, but Romans chapter 12, so far left column. It's easy to remember if these four passages, just think 12, 12, 4, 4. So Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. So Romans 12, verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Okay, Paul, got to use my gift. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now look at verse 7. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. Wait a minute. So what Paul is saying is, if your spiritual gift is ministry, make sure you use your spiritual gift when you minister. If your spiritual gift is teaching, make sure you use your spiritual gift when you teach. Okay? So this only makes sense if we understand that the activity in and of itself is not everything there is to understand about the spiritual gift. Okay, so I'm going to put up a definition, or have Steve put up a definition here that is very lengthy, but I think it's important. A spiritual gift seems to be the capability to use an ability with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to edify the body of Christ and glorify God. So it's not simply being good at something. It's not simply the natural ability. There are many unbelievers who are good at helping people. There are many unbelievers who are good at teaching. That does not mean they have the spiritual gift. Performing the task, this is where it hits home, performing the task related to the natural ability does not necessarily mean you are using your spiritual gift. Here's what I mean. Just because you are teaching, even if your gift is teaching, it doesn't mean you're actually using your spiritual gift of teaching. You're only using your spiritual gift if the Holy Spirit is empowering you. Look at 1 Peter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, here's how you use your spiritual gift. Don't just get up and speak. Speak as the oracles of God, the Word of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. So it is possible for someone to teach in the church but not be using their spiritual gift of teaching, even though they have the spiritual gift of teaching. It's possible to serve if your spiritual gift is serving and not actually be using your spiritual gift because you're not doing it with the Holy Spirit power. You're not doing it with the enablement of God. So how can we make sure that we are doing that? And here's the key, one word, I think, prayer. Prayer. So, if we don't pray as we prepare to serve and as we serve, we'll struggle with pride on the one hand, maybe, or inadequacy on the other hand, or maybe weariness. So, here's an example. You're going to prepare a meal for someone who just had surgery, okay? You don't give any thought to the Lord. You don't pray about it. You don't even, the thought never enters your mind. You just, you know, hey, man, I'm great cook, and, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I signed up, and I get my ingredients, and I'm making my recipes. Things start to go wrong, you know. I forgot an ingredient, or I forgot to turn the timer on, and I'm getting all frustrated, and I'm like, I sure hope those people appreciate all the work I put into this meal. They better be really glad that I'm doing this. You think that the Holy Spirit is working through me in that area of service at that point? Maybe teaching a lesson, you know? If I give no thought to the Holy Spirit, either on the one hand I think, yeah, this is a pretty good lesson. I'm a pretty good teacher, in fact, you know, and a lot of people are going to be ministered to as I teach this lesson. So there's pride or inadequacy. Oh, I can't do this. I hate this. This is so stupid. I can't teach. See, we're not allowing God to work through us. But if we pray while we're doing it, what if the person making that meal just stopped for a moment and said, Lord, would you please help me as I prepare this meal to use my time effectively, to do my best? I pray that this meal would be a blessing to the family and encouragement to them as they're struggling right now. Do you see the difference that that would make in your attitude and your approach? And what you're saying is, God, would you use me? Use whatever gifts I have to serve someone. You're teaching a lesson. Father, would you allow your Holy Spirit to guide me as I prepare this lesson? Help me to be true to your word. Help me to do my best. Help me to be clear. I'm struggling with pride right now, or I'm struggling with inadequacy right now. Would you help me this morning to honor you and to work through me, that the word would change the lives of the people I'm teaching? What a difference that makes. And we've all done it. We've served in our own strength, and, you know, things happen, and God uses that. I'm not saying he doesn't, but what a difference it is when we truly rely on God to serve, even in the little things. It will help with a proper attitude. It will help us give liberally, lead diligently, show mercy with cheerfulness, and all these things. So the two extremes are thinking that spiritual gifts are all about God zapping me with something and just, and not realizing it's on me to use my gifts and to develop them. And the other extreme is it's all about me and my great abilities, and I'm not really even giving any thought to how God is actually empowering me and using me. So, have you learned anything this morning in Spiritual Gifts 101? Do you understand spiritual gifts so you're not ignorant about them? Now, there's more to learn. There's more to be said. In the coming weeks, I have certainly not covered everything there is to cover, and haven't gone into as much detail as we might, but do you understand the diversity, the great variety? As I look out over this group, every single one of you that is a believer in Jesus Christ has a gift, and even if two people have the same gift, it manifests itself in different ways. It's so beautiful, it's so wonderful when everybody is able to do that. And yet there's unity as we work together to accomplish God's purposes and to make disciples. And I just think of all the ways you are involved in serving. What an amazing church this is, where people, we don't have to pull teeth all the time to get people to do things, but you volunteer and you do stuff and you serve, and it's so wonderful. But there may be some of you here that are not using your spiritual gift, you're idle, and I would encourage you to get involved. If you're wondering what that might look like, you can mark a communication card, write your name, and, you know, I'd like to serve. We'll follow up with you. There's going to be a ministry fair on August 6th in the morning where we'll have different opportunities for service, so that's another way to go about it. But develop your gifts, use them, rely on the Holy Spirit. And if we were to imagine our church like a body with many parts, what if every part of the body were like you? How healthy would our body be? How effectively would we be doing what God wants us to do and has designed us to do? So perhaps this morning you need to commit or recommit to God, asking him to use you. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just want people right now in the quietness of their heart to talk to you. Lord, are you using them? Are they serving you? You've given each believer a gift. That's not the question. You've given us the Holy Spirit to enable us. We have no excuse. Perhaps there's some here, Lord, who've just never really thought about it. And this morning they understand in a new way that, yeah, I need to serve. I need to get involved. I need to help people. I need to do something for you. And I pray that you'd encourage them to do that. Help us as pastors and help us as ministry leaders to facilitate that and to encourage them and to use them. Maybe there are some who have been serving, but they've kind of just slacked off, and they know that. You're convicting them of that, and I pray that they would recommit, Lord, recommit to serving you, to following you. We are imperfect vessels, Lord. We're jars of clay, but you use us. That's the amazing thing. You work through us, and you use the abilities and the gifts that you've given us to build up the body. The body here at Grace and the body of Christ around the world. So please use us, Lord. Use us individually. Use us as a church. And help us to build up the body and to glorify you. Thank you so much this morning, Lord, for this time in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. Have a great holiday week. You are dismissed.